This edition of The Stack was first broadcast on the 26th of April, 2014 on Monocle 24.
Designing the perfect design publication, optimal good taste, rarefied rationale, and as much editorial impartiality as possible, we delve into the world of design in print. Coffee table fodder par excellence. This week, we talk about the basics of launching your very own design journal. I'll be going down memory lane with a familiar face who has launched her own title to compete in this very tough corner of the magazine world. We'll look back, exchange notes, and ponder on what's good and what's not so good in design publishing right now. Plus, we'll be hearing from Sweden, where two design bloggers have decided to go into print.
We call it a short introduction to Swedish architecture and design, which is exactly what it is. It was a guidebook format that was published in Russian and released in Moscow during the Moscow Design Week.
All that and plenty more besides on this 87th edition of The Stack, right here on Monocle 24. Hello and welcome to Studio 2 here at Midori House for this edition of The Stack with me, Tyler Brulé. Now, without further ado, I'm going to introduce a guest on the show today, someone who I knew rather well, still know her reasonably well, Miss Laura Housley, who worked with me as design editor at Wallpaper Magazine way back, Laura, in the 90s. Absolutely remarkable. Mid-90s, we should say. I think you probably washed up on our shores in about 97, 98?
Yeah, I was 21.
I know, at 21 years old. And this is a story which plays out constantly. It still plays out here at Monocle as well, with people who come in either as part-timers or as interns, and sometimes the really, really good ones, we can't sort of dislodge them and they just stay. And if I recall, I think you were definitely one of those ones who we thought, is her time up? Is she going to go somewhere else? Is she going to, venture off to another magazine? You had a pretty good run at it.
I was meant to be there for a month and I think I stayed nearly 8 years.
And of course, we should say after that, I went on to the likes of working for Arena Un Plus. I mean, a ton of other titles. I think also firmly also working in the design world as well with brands, the likes of Established & Sons, your involvement in the business, Another Country, which has just opened a very lovely store around the corner as well. But we're here to talk about an amazing new venture. And I'd heard murmurs that you were thinking about a new magazine. And then just one day, lo and behold, Laura Housley's new magazine just properly thumped on my desk. I'm just going to sort of reach across and grab a copy
of it. I'm glad it thumps.
No, it does. It does thump. I mean, you can hear it. The Modern Design Review arrived, and here it is. And a very, very, I would say it's handsome. It's a very, I think, quite a masculine cover. And just that, I mean, a volume which feels just incredibly confident and I think sort of quite different in format. And I'll let you go into that in greater detail. So I guess first thing we should probably say is that it's twice a year. You have a spring summer 2014 cover date on it. And I think that would probably suggest that it came out now. So you wanted it with timing that was around the Salone.
Yes, absolutely.
To get a bit of buzz. And I would imagine if we do the math, it probably means there'll be an edition that comes out early autumn, probably to fit in with London Design Week.
Yes, absolutely, spot on.
But I guess let's rewind a little bit and talk about just when we thought we probably don't need another design magazine in the marketplace, and the shelves are sort of heaving with not just the established titles that we all like, but certainly also a number of new and emerging titles, self-published titles that have come along as well. So, what was the gap in the market? How long has the idea been lingering? And are you going to say from the second week you're a wallpaper or
more or less, yes, or maybe the second week after I left, but no, it's been lingering for a long time. It was maybe 6 or 7 years really in the thinking, and during that time nothing came along that really did what I wanted to do, so then it all quickened pace last year and we put it together. There are design titles on the market and there are new design titles on the market, but a lot of them are interiors based or architecture based or lifestyle based. Mm. And this is Modern Design Review is very much a design magazine. It's about product and furniture design only. We might dabble in other subject matters as and when we want to, but it is predominantly about design. And I think that is a big point of difference.
Mm. This has been an idea that it's been lingering for a long time.
Yep.
how much has the concept, you know, evolved? And I'm sure there were probably daydreams and afternoon sketches and probably little flat plans that were sketched on the back of
many flat plans
of envelopes and other things. You know, so whether from sort of, you know, physical form, shape, size, also to the content and running order of what it's become, how much has that really changed from the initial idea, do you think?
In all honesty, it hasn't changed hugely at all. It's the restrictions of what we could do as a first issue are the things that have changed the content. But the idea of doing something that was very bookish has always been there. The idea of doing something that only had two sections was always there as well.
I should point out for listeners that there is a dust jacket, which is wonderful, and you have a great ad from Meherrim Design on one side. You know, a beautiful Vitra on the outside back cover. Meherrim also on the inside back cover as well. So was that also thinking when you talk about the bookishness of it, that it should have had a dust jacket?
Yes. Absolutely. The dust jacket has always been, from Graphic Thought Facility are the art directors of the magazine, and the dust jacket was something that when we started talking about bookish qualities, they brought in very, very early on. But there are other things in there, like we've used footnotes and annotations and notes in the columns, and we have added bookish elements to it throughout quite purposefully, because it's a magazine that needs to sit on the newsstand for 6 months, so I want it to feel as though it has longevity, and a nod towards those bookish elements were very purposeful.
So I guess I have to ask then, so what took you so long? You had this idea for an incredibly long time, and then it suddenly comes to market. So
yes.
was there an issue of looking at the state of the marketplace and saying, oh, I feel that there is an ideal window right now. Nothing has come out for a while. Was it just, you know, finding time in your own schedule to pull it off? What was it?
It was the perfect storm, really. I think there's never been a better time to produce an independent publication. And certainly when I'd started thinking about this the 7 or 8 years ago, the marketplace wasn't like that at all then. It's evolved dramatically to be quite a favourable place for magazines such as Modern Design Review. So that was an element. Also, just the kind of lazy watching the market, wondering if something was going to come along that would do what I wanted Modern Design Review to do, and it didn't, which kind of finally spurred me on to make it happen. And just the general creativity and energy of the design industry itself, it deserves being represented by a creative magazine, and that's very much what I wanted to do.
And you say there's no better time, and is that because you think there's been, you know, perhaps a slight erosion or downgrading in the quality of, let's say, some of the more traditional titles? And it's certainly a topic that we cover here a lot. You know so many of the much loved magazines, they're shadows of the former selves. Mm-hmm. And then did it feel better also that there's maybe almost safety in numbers, that we've seen so many, whether it's, you know, in the fashion arena, whether it's in the architecture arena, whether it's in food and drink, that there has been this surge of more self-published, you know, smaller niche titles. Was that also part of it as well, when you talk about a perfect storm, that maybe there's just more of an appetite as well for being a little bit more adventurous?
I think the change and the innovation is in the consumer, is in the marketplace. I think they're far more susceptible to smaller titles. They have a hunger for them. I think there's a real interest in new publications.
And when you look at the lineup, and I'm just going to read a couple of the cover stories. So, you know, again, very handsome, you know, very sort of beautiful masthead, you know, Modern Design Review. And then underneath, we have a masterclass in chair design with Irio Kukuporo, Martino Gamper in an arts and crafts mashup, Daniel Rubikin on the irrepressible quality of daylight, a nod towards new minimalism. And so it goes. Very much a top-down approach, because, as you know, you've obviously worked with an interesting group of collaborators. Was it, you know, you, Laura, out commissioning all of these ideas, or, you know, going back to the the mashup cover line here as well? Was it, you know, a big discussion with some of your nearest and dearest contributors, saying what would you want to do in the Modern Design Review?
It was a personal selection when it came to the content, but a big part of the character of the magazine is to involve people from the design industry as well. There, you know, as I said before, there are so many wonderful people out there doing so many interesting things. for example, the Daniel Ryberkin story, he presents his work in such a beautiful fashion himself. I didn't see any reason why we would ask anybody else to art direct the story. We got him to do it. You know, so there is an element of contribution from the design industry itself in the magazine, I think, which is a nice thing.
I'm going to put you on the spot in a moment because we're going to hear a piece from one of our colleagues, something which is from Milan, you know, via Stockholm and back again. But before we go to a very short little sting here, I want you to put your thinking cap on, because I'm sure people are listening to this thinking about the launch of this magazine. And I'm going to want Laura Housley's top three tips in terms of doing your own editorial startup. You're listening to The Stack here on Monocle 24. Back in a moment. Now we are talking to Laura Housley here on The Stack today about her new launch, the Modern Design Review. Now, as I was just demanding only moments ago,
do you want my?
If you've got a list of your top three tips, I mean, well, what would you say?
I'd say perseverance is incredibly important, and the old kind of adage of don't take no for an answer really, really did suit, you know, my experience of putting this together. But I think if you have conviction, you continue and you can get it done. It is possible. It's a hard slog.
Sure.
And so the second bit of advice would be, make sure you love what you're doing.
Right.
Because it is a difficult industry to be in. It's a difficult industry to succeed in. And the third would be, I think, just stay true to your conviction. I do have a lot of experience in the industry, and I did have a gut feeling that this type of magazine there was a place for it. And I still think that. And I think if you don't have that, then it's very hard to produce something that is of value and that will find a readership. Mm.
We're going to make a slight transition. As I said, we're going to head to Milan via Stockholm and perhaps round the houses again, because if you're a design aficionado and happen to speak Swedish, one website and regular podcast has probably become a staple for you already. Summit.se's in-depth interviews have been feeding those with a hunger for design details from Västerås to Visby, but now the men behind the project are braving into the world of design publishing. Earlier this month, our Section D producer Alan John met up with Gustav Schelin and Dan Golling at the Spazio Rosana Orlandi during Milan's Salone del Mobile.
Well, it's a passion-driven project. We just do stuff. We do the radio show, the podcast, and fill it with great content, hopefully. And then we've started publishing books, which is, it's like making, I think, a podcast or a magazine. You need to have some kind of editorial skill and be able to produce relevant content and package it in a way that's appealing to the audience you want to reach. And we're good at doing that. But then, as you say, I think that you're experienced in the media industry as well. It's changing very rapidly and sort of it's getting tougher. But we're confident that there are ways of making money and earning a living out of doing
something that you're passionate about.
Exactly. I mean, I think that's the sane end to start with the passion and not sort of with the business model.
So let's look at the kind of nuts and bolts of your projects and your business at the moment. You run a podcast. How often?
So we try and publish this every second Monday, and then we publish it, and it's free to download and listen to on our website and through iTunes and Libsyn, and we invest maybe a few days every second week to produce it, actually, and travel to interesting places and meet interesting people that we want to talk to about architecture and design. And I mean, all the tools that you need to do a podcast is free. The software, and you know, you can borrow a dictaphone from your friend or whatever, and then eventually you might actually get a proper microphone. But for now, I mean, it hasn't cost us anything but our time, but we love to spend our time doing this, so it really doesn't feel like, you know, such hard work and that we're losing anything by doing it.
How are you finding moving into publishing?
First of all, it's really fun to make books. It's a great, it's very satisfying to do a physical object that you hold in your hand and you can sort of lead through and feel, touch, and also to read and to hear the people appreciate and think that it's, you know, we've done something of value and that has interesting content and something to say about, you know, what's going on in this, in the fields of architecture and design. It's really exciting.
Talk me through, how many books have you published? Obviously, we have the collection of interviews that you've done through the podcast, yeah, and you've put them word to word.
We published our first book in October last year, when the podcast was, well, say 6 months old. We call it A Short Introduction to Swedish Architecture and Design, which is exactly what it is. It was a guidebook format that was published in Russian and released in Moscow during the Moscow Design Week in October, which we were invited to. So we thought that what can we do as a sort of independent media organization? We could do an exhibition about Swedish design, but maybe the people in Russia might not be that familiar with what Swedish design is. Maybe we should start from the very beginning by producing an updated introduction to, well, Swedish architecture and design. So that's what we did, and it was really, really welcome.
Swedish design is obviously a very well-known thing to an extent. At least Scandinavian design is very, very well-known. Perhaps Danish is a little bit better known in terms of industrial or furniture product design. Is it an exciting time for you guys to be involved in that scene?
Yeah, I think there's certainly a lot happening right now, and especially because of the technology, and that has opened up new ways of producing, and we see a lot of independent producer popping up in Sweden, and it's very interesting to follow that process closely, because obviously we have a quite long and deep history of design in Sweden, that great handicraft tradition, so to see that develop now in the age of technology is fantastic.
And that was Gustav Schelén and Dan Galling of Summit.se talking to our producer, Ala John, producer there, of course, of our program, Section D. We're going to go away for a break, but before that, just quick reactions, Laura, to what they do. I know that one of the gentlemen has also contributed to the launch issue of Modern Design Review. We've got a little copy of the Summit interview series, though, Volume 1, 2013, 2014. And you have, there's discussions with everyone from Eero Koivisto to Sam Hecht to Åke Axelsson, Sana, etc. Mm-hmm. What do you think of what they do? And certainly as sort of, you know, again, something else which is, you know, independently delivered, you know, there's no shortage of design journals out of Sweden, but have they carved a bit of an interesting channel for themselves?
Yeah, I think they have. And Daniel Galling, who contributed to Modern Design Review, is a very good editor. And I think, as with many of these things, it's all in the edit. And I think they've got a very well created series. The podcasts are very interesting. It's quite an interesting concept, I think, to go from podcast to publishing books. But it seems to have worked really well for them.
Excellent. You're listening to The Stack here on Monocle 24 with me, Tyler Berlay, my special guest Laura Housley. We're off for a short break, back in a moment.
The Entrepreneur seeks out the seers, the sages, and the successes of the business world. Every week, we take you on an hour-long tour to uncover the hidden, extraordinary, curious, and inspiring stories you won't hear anywhere else.
It is a beautiful brand that it's all about giving the consumer the best possible product. We didn't buy into a design studio or a commercial entity. We bought into a factory.
We put a shingle on the door, so to speak, which said Brand Strategy Company 25 years ago, and people thought we were just mad poets and really didn't get what we were about.
From the kiosk owners of Cairo to the coffee culture of Tel Aviv, from the beer brewers of Ghana to the piano makers of Greece. Intrigued? Well, tune in to hear how the best entrepreneurial minds tick, not just the ups and downs of the FTSE.
There's a push maybe that people want to have more of their stuff made locally because they know where it's coming from.
You get obsessed about the details, and if you're making the same product day in, day out, you build this incredible product that is very difficult to replicate.
So if you have an idea and want to drop that 9-to-5, you've just found your new business Bible.
That's The Entrepreneurs, premiering every Wednesday at 1900 hours UK time in association with Pictet.
And you are indeed listening to The Stack here on Monocle 24 on a Saturday. And Laura's talking about wonderfully curated things, and she has brought a very curated little stack of her own. I can see five magazines across the table that we're going to jump into very quickly, certainly for this this last segment of the program. And what do you want to start with?
Oh, I don't know. As you can well imagine, It was hard for me to even get it down to five. My magazine collection might be even competing with yours. and also an expensive habit I learnt from you as well, I should say.
Absolutely.
But I don't know, should we start at the oldest?
Let's start with the oldest. Okay, fine.
Contour.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Well, I think like anybody who's interested in magazine design and content, it's interesting to look back at publications from the 50s and 60s. And this one is a Swedish publication, and it's just especially beautiful, really. And I very much like the clean direction of the editorial and also the very homely nature of the content as well. It's just a very pleasing publication.
And it's remarkable because I think it has, you know, anyone who knows Contour magazine, it has a cover style, this white strap that occupies maybe the top 15 or 20% of the page, and this lovely a serif font, but something very modern about it at the same time. But I can say, you know, it's a cover which has launched 1,000 imitators.
Yes,
you know, over the following and decades. And as you say, just a wonderful grid. You know, even then, this just wonderful use of other paper stocks inside.
Yeah,
and
a complete
delight.
They do a great insert. They really do.
And it's great too that you had this this lovely subscription card which just fell out as well, which is also just a wonderful thing of beauty. And you know, curiously enough, also priced amazingly for a Swedish magazine, priced in Swiss francs or Deutschmarks, which is interesting, but absolutely beautiful. And I hope every time you go to Sweden that you're going into nice little junk shops and trying to add to your collection,
yeah,
Laura.
Unfortunately, I am.
and I think when we talk about, we're going to start at the bottom of the pile and look at the oldest first, but I think it's amazing. You've got a copy there of Arne magazine from Japan, which I'm a huge fan of.
Yes.
And there you go. You have the white strap across the top, Arne sort of written out, or almost looks like it's sort of written out in a sort of naive style. But why did you bring that magazine in?
I've been a big fan of this and the other Japanese slow publications, if we can call them that, for a long time. And I think they're a real precursor to publications like Appartamento. And it's the content, really, of this publication that interests me. Anybody that can give a double page spread to a shoehorn is good by me. And it is just a really gentle, sweet publication. And the subject matter, which is kind of homespun crafts and cookery and how to make an apron and things like that, is just very pleasing, really, to me.
And I think also anyone who would have the courage to have a cover as well, where you've just got baskets of grapefruit, it looks like. It's just a wonderful market shot that could be sort of down any cozy back lane in any Japanese city. Yeah. You could be in Kagoshima.
And also that publication is maybe 10 years old.
Yes.
And I think it's really interesting to see what's on the market now in terms of titles like Kinfolk and things like that. And then to look at some of these Japanese publications that have been around for a very long time.
Mm. Let's probably look at another one which has popped up on the show once or twice before. Yes. But you have Mare from Germany, which is, I always think, is amazing that here you have a country with not a very large coastline.
Exactly.
It has a very robust and rather large publishing industry, but at the same time, they put out this incredible magazine, which is devoted to all things above and below the surface of bodies of water all over the world.
Yeah, and it's exactly that. It's the niche content that delights me with this magazine. I think it's such an interesting editorial exercise to take such a seemingly abstract concept and to deliver time and time again issues full of really interesting stories and that are very diverse. Sometimes they're political, sometimes they're creative. They can cover artists to news stories. And yeah, it's a very interesting exercise in what you can do given one seemingly tight subject matter.
Yeah, and you've pulled out an issue which is still one of my favorite covers that I recall. I mean, this is October, November 1998, and with the headline is Schweiz, Das Meer ruft Ein Land liegt ab. So, you know, amazingly, a story about a landlocked country and this wonderful graphic device. So it's a full, it's a red cover, the white Swiss cross, but then they've put an anchor at the bottom of it, and it's absolutely beautiful. We have probably time for just one more before we have to say goodbye.
Then let's have a quick look at Terrazzo, which is a publication out of Italy, edited by Barbara Radici from the 80s and 90s. And it was actually Enzo Mari that was behind this publication. And this, in terms of looking at design titles, I find very exciting. It's just it's a magazine that really is from the heart. Mm. And its edit contains work by friends and family quite blatantly, which I also find quite appealing. And anybody that's interested in Italian design from that period, it's a real delight.
Mm, I mean, this is spring of 1989. I think they absolutely priced it right for the period as well. It's has a very sort of confident cover price at $20. And yeah, just you'd never be able to pull yourself to say goodbye to something like this.
No, absolutely.
And a volume which is no doubt worth considerably more than $20 at this point. Laura Housley, congratulations.
Thank you.
Always
very
good
much.
To see you. But the magazine, as mentioned, is Modern Design Review. Of course, it has a spring-summer 2014 cover date on it. But we can look forward to probably, what, end of August, just early September, depends how the summer goes, when we see the next issue.
Yes, September, I think.
Excellent. Well, that brings us to the end of this 87th edition of The Stack with me, Tyler Relay. Again, special thanks to Laura Housley, also our producer, David Pleasant, and our studio manager was Claire Urban today. If you have any comments or queries, then do drop us a note to info@monocle.com. And remember, we're back next Saturday at the same time. I do believe I will be in the country, so I'll be looking after this seat in this very same studio. For all of us, goodbye.